afternoon, sir. What is your name?
David Stevens.
Okay, so Mr. Quinones is going to be conducting your hearing this morning. This afternoon. Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
My name is David Lloyd Stevens. My number is 039896.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the two alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on March 15th, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, I am.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. As you can see on your teleconference screen, the individual sitting closest to you is me. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as your panel chairman for this hearing. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our acting board chairman, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. And at the far end of the bench is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Westby, the representative of Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Stevens and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Stevens, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. I'll begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal ways your company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on February 5th, 2016, with the task individual testing compliance summary dated March 29, 2016. Mr. Stevens, is this true or false?
It is true.
Oh, thank you, sir. Just 1 second. And allegation number two, violation of condition number two is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about March 9, 2016, as verbally directed on March 2nd, 2016. Your whereabouts were known, thus you were absconded from supervision. Mr. Stevens, is this true or false?
I feel that it's false.
Okay. We'll keep it simple. You stated false, so we're going to hear further testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we'll come back to you for a few questions. Okay, sir? Thank you. Mr. Westby.
On March 2nd, 2016, a offender was directed by Parole Supervisor Rodriguez to return to the Northeast Parole Office on March 9th, 2016. The offender did not report as directed. On March 10, 2016, this officer, being Daniel Carter, left a violation letter at his approved residence of 812 East Mountain View Road, Phoenix, Arizona, 85020. The resident offender reported to the Northeast Parole Office on March 11, 2016. The offender failed to report as directed. The offender's whereabouts are unknown. This is an abstention from supervision. On March 10, 2016, this officer, Daniel Carter, spoke with the offender's niece, Allie. She stated the offender had been staying at the home at night, however he will leave during the day. This officer, Daniel Carter, advised her that a violation letter was left at a residence directing the offender to report to the Northeast Parole Office on March 11, 2016. This officer also spoke to the offender's other niece, Chastity, on March 10, 2016. She stated the offender had checked himself in the community bridges on March 9, 2016. So it's also revised that her information would not be able to be verified as community bridges will not give out personal information on her patient about the obese information sign, she stated that she will make contact with the offender with community bridges and have one of them contact this officer. No contact was ever made with this officer by either the offender or community bridges. This officer attempted to contact the offender via his cell phone's window with negative results. March 15, 2016, this officer spoke with Chastity again. She stated that the offender was no longer at community bridges and that she did not know where he was staying. She stated that he left his approved residence and that she was attempting to locate him. She advised that she will not keep this officer apprised of the situation. No contact has been made with Chastity or Allie. March 17, 2016, this officer made contact with the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and verified that the offender was not in your custody. March 24, 2016, this officer made contact with Staff Teams Challenge, 1515 David Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007. Staff confirmed that the offender was not a participant in the program. This officer knows of no other person or place to locate the offender. And attached to the warrant is a copy of the report of instructions dated March 10, 2016, directing Mr. Stevens to report to the parole office on March 11th.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Stevens. You were missing from community supervision for pretty close to 2 years. What's false about this allegation?
Well, I'm just a little confused on the dates because on the 16th, I was on my way to see my PO when I was hit by a truck, my bicycle, on the way to where I would take the bus from. And it was a very ugly accident. It was so bad that my 4th, 5th, 6th birthday, my neck was fractured, my jaw was shattered, my nose was broke. I didn't even know my name. I didn't go to the hospital. I just hopped back home and I tried to stop the bleeding from my face. And from there on, I don't even know how I got to the hospital. But when I got there, they started poking my legs. And I was only feeling like one or three or four pokes. So I got a little excited and they put me to sleep for a while, like, I don't know, a week or two. I just don't know because I don't remember too much of any of it. But I was on my way to see my PO on the 16th when I was in the accident, and I had been instructed to look into community bridges of the Salvation Army, which I had done, and I was waiting for blood work to come back because neither one would let me in without the blood work. I did check myself into community bridges because I just thought that was the thing to do before I got totally out of hand. And then for the last couple of, I didn't even know I was still on parole because last June I went to the Scottsdale Police Department and picked up my wallet because someone had stolen it and they arrested somebody using my driver's license for identity theft or whatever. But they always check, and I just didn't know I was still on parole like this. I just didn't know what was going on.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and pass through the first phase of this hearing, and you'll have a chance to speak to the board more in detail. For phase one, based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2016W1026, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, as well as Mr. Stevens' admission on allegation number one, I move to find delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision that he may have or have lapsed in criminal related company.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Ms. Whitnows?
Yes.
Okay, and agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Mr. Neal. Okay, back to you, Mr. Stevens. We're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. During this phase, the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by, as Mr. Westby, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, We will come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Thank you, sir. Mr. Westby.
On December 30th, 2015, Mr. Stevens was released from DOC. He was arrested February 23rd, 2018 by Phoenix PD, known the charges. He was back in DOC custody February 23rd, 2018, was adjusted CSCD of August 15th, 2018, 716 abscondes. Current conviction, 2013, narcotic drug violation, two counts, count one, 2.5 years, count two, 3 years. Prior convictions, 1979, burglary second degree, 3 years, 9 months. 1982, burglary second degree, 7.5 years. 1982, trafficking in stolen property, three counts, count one, 7.5 years, count two, 7 years, count three, 4.5 years. 1982, two counts, count one, 6 years, count two, 7 years. 1982, burglary second degree, 7 years. 1982, escape second degree, 2.5 years. 1991, theft, 8 years. 1991, narcotic drug violation, 8 years. 1998, dangerous drug violation, two counts, count one, 2.5 years, count two, 4.5 years. 1998, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2007, misconduct involving weapons, three counts. Counts one and two, 3 years, 9 months. Count three, 7.5 years. 2007, theft of credit card, two counts, each for 3 years, 8 months, 12 days. This is a six-term DOC. Senior IR score, 2-3, mental health score, 1, substance abuse score, 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1988, temporary release, arrest on tech violation, administrative leave revoked. 1994, home arrest release, arrest on tech violation, revoked by the PBC. 1995, provisional release completion, 6 months. 2001, GIS release of standard, 8 months, 10 days, revoked by the PBC. This disciplinary violations are moderate withdrawals noted. Other arrest. All arrests on record show the charges were either not filed or processed. His community risk score is a G3B4.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Stevens. We'll make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you're released from the Department of Corrections to reside at Transitional Living Center, 9430 North 11th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. You're approved to move to Reborn, Phoenix, on February 2nd, 2016. According to notes, you left Reborn on or about February 22nd, 2016, admitting to the parole office of using methamphetamine. You were approved to reside with your niece, Holly Graham, at 812 East Mountain View Road, Phoenix, Arizona. You left that residence on approximately March 9, 2016, your whereabouts well known. We've talked about that in somewhat detail during phase one, but I will ask you, and please understand, I certainly have sympathy for you being in an accident. It sounds like you sustained some painful injuries, but when you were released from the hospital, let me ask you, when were you released from the hospital after the accident?
I don't have a date for that. My family was supposed to fax my medical records to you guys, but then they were told to fax them to the SGO1 up here, and she made sure you guys received all that, because when I was released from the hospital, first I couldn't get out of the hospital because I couldn't pass the cognitive test, and then my girl that I've been with for 25 years and my niece Chastity, they came and got me. But from there, Yeah, because I had gotten an infection in my legs, and they sent me to a extended place where they were treating antibiotic treatment, because they wanted to take my left leg off, and I refused to let them take off. I could stick up because I could walk around today, but I don't have any of the dates because everything's just a big blur, you know. And if I tried to make up dates, it'd just be, you know, making it up.
Okay, sir.
No, I do.
With respect to your due process, you sound clear now, so when did you start thinking clearly? Because there's still a long period of time that we can't account for that you're missing from community supervision.
Well, when I was released from, it was called Coronado, I went home to my home on 1140 East Dunlap, and there I remained. You know, I was still going through a lot of, they tore holes in my legs, and they just stopped the packing and all that, January, I still had scabs on my legs when I got here to the shower right here. But I was at home, and when officers came to my door, I answered the door. I didn't know that I had any issues with you know, the law or anything. I just didn't know. I don't remember phone numbers. I mean, I understand, you know, think of, I mean, I'm getting, you know, memory back and stuff, but, you know, I guess because of, you know, I'm a rule of my trade, they said I'll never do that again. I've already applied for disability and stuff like that, but the only thing good that came with that accident is it just, I had no desire to use drugs anymore, which is, you know, it's a blessing because this has been my problem my whole life, is drug abuse, you know. All my crimes are drug related. So, that's the only thing good that came with that accident. But you're never the same after an accident like that. You know, my trauma center said another 2 or 3 ounces of pressure, and I wouldn't even be sitting here right now. So, you know, I'm glad I'm sitting here right now.
Well, thank you for your candor with the board, Mr. Stevens. Why did the Phoenix Police Department make contact with you?
I had a warrant for scouting. But like I said, when I went to discuss the police department, I was just under the impression that if I had a warrant, they would have arrested me right there when I picked up my wallet, my driver's license. But I just, you know, when all this happened, I don't know how much for I still had that, but I didn't think it was very much, and I just assumed that they were just going to let me screw up and handle it that way. That's just what I thought. But after the accident, I had, that's just not something that was in my mind, because I was going to plastic surgeons and trauma surgeons, and my primary care provider, and this has been an ongoing thing, you know. But as far as, I wasn't hiding from anybody, I was at my house, you know.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members, they have any questions for you? I have no questions from fellow board members. Mr. Stevens, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you'd like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We'll only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else you need to share?
I would just like to say that during this period, I was under a lot of narcotics. I mean, very strong narcotics. And even though I sit here and tell you I have no desire to use drugs, you know, I would just request you guys reinstate me and let me do the rest of my time in one of those programs that they have available to us now. Forgiven a dirty way or whatever. I'm not sure as far as my counselor was explaining it to me the other day. As far as, I don't have very good recall of the conversation I had this morning, let alone last week. So that's really all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but it's the board discussion of case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes under the open meeting laws in Arizona. So if you just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is a tragic and unfortunate case. I certainly feel for Mr. Stevens being involved in what sounds like a pretty bad accident. But somewhere along the way, it would seem that he regained his cognition and did not reestablish any sort of contact with his parole officer. I know he feels that the violation of condition number two is false, but 2 years was a very long time to be missing from community supervision. Combined with his experience with the correction system, it looks like he had a couple of past tech violations, and he completed his community supervision once in the past, so he understands that. And then we have an additional case of absconding for 8 months. So, as I stated, I feel bad about him being injured, but I think there's some holes. I think there's some holes in the story, and I'm not finding him a good candidate for returning him to community supervision, but that's where we get the discussion.
I agree.
Therefore, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land, and that is based on the information in warrant number 2016W1026. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Stevens, violating the terms and conditions of supervision and have lapses or is about to lapse in the your company, inasmuch that he absconded or was missing from community supervision for 716 days, and we could not account for his activity during that time, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by, I'll say, Mr. Neal, I think I double on that, and agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Stevens, your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about August 15, 2018. That's a little more than 4 months away. Considering how long you're missing from community supervision, it's a relatively short amount of time, a matter of weeks. So we highly encourage you to seek what medical treatments available to you inside the Department of Corrections and to put together a plan for your return to the community in August. It sounds like that you have support outside of the correction system, and we certainly wish you a productive and responsible return to the community. This hearing is concluded. Hope for the discussion may take place, and we want to thank you for appearing before the board today, Mr. Stevens. If you could, please give the phone to your CO3.